I'm going to talk about learning outcomes. You know, you could ask me a year ago, I would not give a damn. I'm sorry, I would not care as much about learning outcomes as I do now, because I was in the middle of a revision of our master program. So we changed up all the courses. We are going through a reaccreditation process in that same movement. So through that exercise of writing those learning outcomes, it became apparent to me that there is something here that's important. And I'm not going to give you the whole spiel on, you know, we need to get those learning outcomes right. But for those of you not very familiar in how learning outcomes work, you know, this is what Charles called the program outcomes. That's the stuff that I'm going to talk the most about. We, on every program, be that bachelor or master's, we have to put a set of high level goals up there that is a kind of a commitment to the student who wants to start the program. It's kind of in our administration, they have a rhetoric around this as a contract with the student. So the student will hold us responsible, to those learning outcomes. Obviously, not every student is equally successful in a program, but you know, those who are reasonably successful should have covered all those learning outcomes. So in an administrative point of view, it is very important to the administration. They don't want to get in trouble because of any of this. So whenever we define a set of high level program outcomes, these are supposed to trickle down into all the courses. All the decisions, you know, in terms of curriculum, are going to be shaped based on those high-level pro. At least that's the theory, right? So, learning outcome examples, you know, upon successful completion, the student, and then there's the list, you know, has a thorough knowledge of the process and methodologies applied by network and system administrators, or is able to build innovative systems using open components. So these are two learning outcomes that are just, they exist out there as an example. However, in practice, all right, so these learning outcomes, they are listed in a program description that's out there for the students to read. Do they read it? No. Do we read it? You know, we did in the seminar when we were told to come up with the learning outcomes. And then one particular unfortunate employee then has to send out, this is a list we agreed on, you know, please bring any comments. No comments, you know, and then that ends up as the list. That makes it to that program description. All of a sudden it's up there, and now there's just no way you can change it. It's a commit, right? There's no way you can change that. Students are not really required to read them. It's kind of folly of us to even assume they do or even understand. Teachers don't really talk about them. I haven't been on a meeting where we have discussed, you know, a particular course where one of the teachers would have said, let's go back, look at those program outcomes. Let's see if we're still aligned with those goals. No one does that. So it is, we don't seem to follow it. I'm pushing it a little bit here, but you know, I think it's safe to say we don't really adhere to it as much as the administration. But in this context, I mean, this goes for all educators, I'm sure, but why is this important right now here at LISA and for us? Because, look, those program outcomes for us define how we understand the profession, which happens to be a profession that doesn't even understand itself very well at the moment. There seems to be a lot of changes in our field because of technology moves so fast. You know, we have workshops on what is a system administrator after all, and you know, they cannot define it. How are we supposed to put up some learning outcomes that like Charlie said, is going to be a commitment for many years out? So if you develop a new program, it's only like 3 or 4 years down the pipeline someone will come out of that pipeline with those learning outcomes. So this is a very hard exercise, and it specifically for us because we oftentimes have to defend why system administration is important. So So we need those learning outcomes as a banner, as something we can get behind and something that we can stand behind to align all our programs to move in the same direction, and also give the impression forward that, look, there's something everyone agrees upon. It's also our interface to society. It's kind of the feature list that we want to instill on a graduate candidate once they go out. This is the message that we bring to Facebook, to Google, to Microsoft, whenever they say, or IBM, when they say, look, we need more of these kind of people, we need more of that kind of people, then this is the list. This is what we deliver, right? What you want is not on that list. Is that a problem? Let's have that conversation. Perhaps we would say, we don't think this is something that we should cover, or we should say, that's a great idea. We need to transform our learning outcomes to cover it. So we need to look at this as our API interface, in a sense, to society. I'm just trying to speak a language you all understand. That's all. You know. So, so in that sense, Niels, Charles, and I, we all represent a master's program in the same topic. So we ask ourselves, do we even understand those learning outcomes? I mean, we've put them up there, and our name is on there. So, but do we really understand them? And what learning outcomes are really considered the most important? I mean, there's a long list. Some lists are longer than others, but, you know, what do our students think would be the core learning outcomes? What would the main experts say, like these people, like you guys or other LISA attendees? What would the teachers say? Is there a difference between those three groups? If so, do we all understand system administration as being the same thing? And perhaps if there would be such a ranking or such an understanding amongst us, could this then be a help to anyone who wants to develop programs or wants to align and calibrate their programs to fit under the term system administration? So that's something that we are basically asking, and we don't know the answer to it. So the data that we have available to make, you know, to investigate this is, I collected all the learning outcomes, all the program level learning outcomes from our three master programs, Rochester with Charles, University of Amsterdam with Niels, and Oslo with me. In total, there are 33 learning outcomes that speak about a master's level in system administration. A lot of them overlap, of course. But it's a total list of 33. Sorry. I know that we like nothing more than to discuss this. And in, you know, Andrew Seeley's infamous rant that he went on back in, I think it was 2012, groups like us tend to become a self-licking ice cream cone, in the sense that we just talk about the same thing over and over again, and there's no real traction. Especially if you think about discussing something that's 33 items long and then agreeing on anything. So let's do an experiment instead. Well, we all had lunch. We're about to get a little bit drowsy, so we might as well get our hands dirty a little bit. Now, all right, I'd like you to follow me on this. Let's just consider all these learning outcomes as being participants or contestants in a tournament, all right? I don't know, boxing, wrestling, some one-on-one stuff. Each tournament is basically a set of matches where the winner advances to the next round. At the end, one learning outcome will be the winner of that tournament. Losers have to fight each other in order to establish a complete ranking of the tournament. So this is what they would do for the finals in the World Cup, where the two losers of the two semifinals would have to fight each other to establish third place. You follow? But what if we would do this for all the rounds? So whenever there's a round, say 8 matches or 4 matches, the winners advance, the losers have to fight each other. So everyone, we get a final ranking for everyone. Each contestant is awarded points based on their placement in the tournament. And those points are accumulated into a series. Right? So, keep that in mind. So this is what's going to happen now. You are all going to complete one of those tournaments. You will be the decider. That's an American term, I understand. You will be the decider on who's going to win a match. So you're going to be faced with a lot of matchups where you are basically, based on your own preference and your own expert knowledge, you're going to decide which of two and two learning outcomes are to be considered the more important than the other. This will challenge you. And then we will collect all of those points from those tournaments that you will complete into one final series ranking, which we will all then have and look at and discuss. So why are we doing it this way? Tournaments are very good at identifying very strong and very weak contestants. So there's a question out there. So does that mean that we can identify a few very strong learning outcomes that everyone seems to get behind? If so, they should trickle up. They should get consistent high rankings and therefore in the series a relatively high placement. Conversely, if there is someone who is consistently being prioritized down, they would go to the bottom of a ranking pretty quickly. Then we have the mix in the middle, where a lot of will end up with roughly the same scores. But there will be kind of a polarizing force in each upwards and downwards. The other thing is, if we understand the phrasing in those learning outcomes, similar learning outcomes should get roughly the same position, right? So if we have two learning outcomes speaking of about the same thing, they should end up at the same point. But if they talk about the same thing but end up very different rankings, where does that happen? Perhaps this is a lesson on we need to rephrase these into terms that are actually understandable by everyone. Then we can actually also look at the individual matchups. And we can use that to investigate, is there one learning outcome that will be consistent, that will win consistently over these and these other learning outcomes? And that will help us make some priority decisions, because oftentimes there's a lot of stuff we want to teach, but something has to be more important than other. So this is the experiment that we're all gonna complete. Now, just a word of advice, because I tested this on myself, of course, and I will not be part of this particular experiment, and neither will Nils or Charlie, because we're all representative of that program, so we might be very biased to our own formulation and our own expression, but look, you will never feel that one of them is irrelevant, because they're all part of a program description, right? So, I mean, they're on that list for a reason, so you will probably feel that a lot of them will be, they're all important, right? None of them is like, there will never be one and should have a thorough understanding of English literature. You know, that will not be on that list. So that will be a hard decision at some points. So you have to ask yourself, you know, down the road, so being that both will get some attention, which one should get more attention than the other? Which one do you feel is more at the core of what we should do? So that's just a word of advice. So you all have laptops. I was kind of anticipating that. So let's do it. Go to this URL. You will be automatically redirected to this fancy tournament system that I've written in my old school PHP. I'm not a web developer. Just going to say that. This will take you 5 minutes because you're going to complete a tournament of 32 contestants. That's okay. Charles, you're not going to do it.
I just want to look.
No, that means you. No, that URL will immediately kick you into the tournament. I will make a small tournament just for you to do.
All right.
I'll talk about this later.
One out of control. I feel like I'm out of control.
Did you have a user interface person vet this? This font's really hard to read.
We got extra credit if we can hack your PHP.
No. But I'm going to tell you what. It works in a load-balanced fashion, so I got that going for me. The architecture is really good.
HTML tables.
Just
automatically load and sync.
Three, two. See, each of you is going to get an individual seeding, right? So you're not going through the exact same tournament. Why? Because it sounds like Norwegian with English words.
Actually, no. It was something else.
How many questions?
You can do the math, but it's 32 contestants. Eventually it will stop. You can do this, guys. Come on, you guys can do this. You really sound like students right now. How long is this test going to be?
I know. Why isn't there a video that can tell us how far we are? We should be getting some positive feedback.
I think you're also suggesting the URL.
I'll include that feature, Arlene. No problem.
You're guessing the URL and now my system finally came up.
Oh, all right.
There's always one.
That's my grandmother, by the way, up there. Yeah. Don't let that distract it. Here's. When you're finished, you'll be rewarded with an URL to the analytics. I don't know if I would get it.
I'm on the 50th question by now.
See, I'm not the only one.
Are there a lot of questions? There are a lot of very small decisions. You guys can do this.
Do we each get
it? Actually, you have not been doing this for more than 3 minutes right now.
Oh.
Just feels long.
Do we get a consistency measure?
Good. Well, we're starting to get some results, and it's fascinating. 7 of you are finished so far. It's good.
So we all have the same number of
studies. It doesn't go on forever. Stay calm. Look, we pull our students through 3-hour exams. We can do this, people. We can do this. And go back on the decision. You finished? Now you know how our students are feeling. It's important for us to remember this. Yeah, I just fixed that. Okay, so we have 12 finished, and that's a lot of us. So I think it's time for us to have a look at the end result. And this is fascinating because if you for those of you who didn't follow, I'm just going to show it here. So the score that I'm ranking on, and there is, you know, there is no tool that does this, so it's a little bit new to me how we're going to interpret this. So if I just rank based on whoever got the most points, we see that the top scoring at the moment has advanced knowledge of how network and system administration is applied at enterprise scale organization. For a while there, for some of you who kept track, security was at the top. Which is here, this one, is able to recognize security aspects of systems at all levels and to take adequate measures to eliminate security problems where needed. There's also is able to translate abstract knowledge into concrete system. And regarding the stuff I said in the beginning, notice these two are pretty similar. One is has advanced knowledge of how network system administration is applied and is able to translate abstract knowledge into concrete. So it's a little bit how I interpret both of these into having the ability to do high-level views and going down into details. Interestingly, at the bottom, who usually loses? Ethics. So even though security is on top, ethical aspects, not as much. Where's the ethical? There, this one, right? So the lowest, you can see that some get lower points because, you know, they may not have been seated in one of the tournaments. There's always one who cannot go because they're 33. So perhaps if I would average these on their average score, that would make more sense. But some of these lose more. They obviously lose more than they win. So it's kind of roughly slightly more than 1 in 4 chance that they would actually be prioritized as opposed to something else. If you also look at the histograms, these are the number of times they have ranked at individual positions. Oh, I just fixed this, but you know, as I said, I'm not a web developer. I got all the data, so you have to give me some time to analyze this. But the bulk of them seem to, you know, end up all over the place. Like this one over here is able to acquire knowledge about innovative technologies and evaluate the potential. Sometimes that one has won, right? It has won once. Once it came second. Once it came on the sixth position. Once it came 14th. But we don't know if it has placed very low until I just increased that. But the top one seems to win roughly 2/3 of the time. So roughly 60% to 66%. We have some strong candidates. They seem to get relatively often prioritized. And you see that they seem to finish pretty high up at every time. So this is, we probably need some time to completely digest this, but I'm happy to see that there seems to be a lot of similar topics at the top. There is not a lot of research up here, though. The research seems to trickle down as well. A lot of research aspects. which I think is weird because a lot of these times we ask for skills like is able to translate abstract knowledge into concrete system. And this is just a different phrasing than someone would say, oh, you mean kind of a research approach. And no, translate abstract knowledge. Yes, research. No, it's not what it said. So it seems like whenever there's research in there, perhaps it's might be triggered a little bit. So, all right, I'm not going to steal too much time on this, but then, you know, that's what we think. That's how politicians answer, well, that's what you think. So I asked the same question to students beforehand. So I took the senior class, and I was nicer to them. They are just seated, they just only get a seat of 60. Because, I mean, honestly, they did not bitch and moan as much as you guys did. If you go to this link, you will see the scores of their questionnaire when they completed the same. So next question is, how similar are they? So 5AA, that's our senior class. So that's they are about to graduate. They only have the master's thesis left. They're done 3 semesters by now. Yeah. This would then be let me just get this back so I can read myself. No, the screen's on that side. Yeah, there we are. So then we have 16 completions total, so slightly less matches because they had less seats. And you can see they prioritize is able to be a key contributing member in the development, management, or research of computing infrastructure of an enterprise. So they consider their own, you know, they seem to have a kind of a role-based philosophy, which you might argue makes sense because they are, you know, about to start a career and they, you know, view themselves, can design, implement scalable, robust service, is able to recognize security. So security seems to be top score on both cases. I cannot find the one that we thought was most. So
where does ethics?
Let's see if we can find ethics. Ethics was 7. So I'd like to thank you all for participating in this experiment. What Nils, Charles, and I will do, we will go and digest this. I'd also like to do the same thing at the BOF. Perhaps we get some outsiders to even try it and see what they think. The end result is I got a lot of data I have to work through, and you guys now have very intimate knowledge of learning outcomes for master programs. So we're all winners. I'd like to thank you all for your attention, and I think I'm done. Yeah, thank you.